Thursday, June 2nd, 2016. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, we're going to learn what a lawyer, a funeral director, and a recruiter all have in common, and what we can learn from them to help our sales. So let me say that again. I think that might have been a bit of a mouthful. We're going to learn what a lawyer, a funeral director, and a recruiter all have in common, and what we can learn from them to grow our sales. So if you don't mind, I kind of feel like this whole thing might be like almost like the beginning of a bad joke, right? Like a lawyer, a funeral director, and a recruiter all walk into a sales bullpen. But anyway, that would be like all I have. That's why Uncle Paul isn't going to quit the podcast to do comedy. But let's get down to business. So there's this funeral director. Again, it sounds like I'm starting a bad joke, but seriously, there really is this funeral director. He's out by me, out here on Long Island, and you'll always see this guy at local events. You're going to see him volunteering, lending a hand wherever he can. They donate. They're heavily involved in any kind of fundraising. Active in local businesses. He's in the local business groups. I'm sorry. You'll see him as a speaker at different events, and everyone really knows this guy, and as a result, they obviously know the funeral home. And it's kind of almost like a word association, right? Like if I mentioned his name and you lived out here, right away you would know the name of the funeral home, right? So that is the first example. And again, I'm not going to go into any more detail than that because all of this is going to start to make sense. So that's the funeral director. I mean, and let's be honest. I mean, how much do you want me to really talk about a funeral director? I don't want to creep you guys the hell out here. But anyway, now there are these two lawyers out by me. Their names are Salino and Barnes. Anyone listening to this who is from Long Island, right? Like, I know that's a big shock to you guys. You would never know it by my accent. But anyone who lives on Long Island listening to this podcast, immediately you know who I'm talking about. These guys have billboards, like, all over the island. They take out print ads. They have radio advertising. They are on local television. And again, if you live on Long Island, it is, I mean, I believe it's impossible for you not to know who these guys are. And in fact, I mean, I'm sorry, I have to digress. The first time I ever came across these guys was, and I shouldn't laugh at them in case, God forbid, they're listening to this. And watch, they were like thinking about hiring me for sales training, and now they're going to think I'm a real dick because I'm laughing at them. But they did this commercial, and I mean, this had to be 7 or 8 years ago, and my two sons were like laughing their ass off in the den, and like I come in there and they're like, "Dad, you got to see this commercial," and it's a Salino and Barnes commercial, and at the end of the commercial, it's like, you know, like, it's almost like, I don't know if you've seen that, like, it's like a technique with advertising, mostly in movies, almost like somebody will say something cute and then, like, they freeze that shot, right? Well, I thought it was a joke, and so did my kids. It's like, instead of just, like, freezing the camera, they're, like, pretending to be still, but you could see them blinking and stuff. It's just, like, it's just freaking odd. But anyway, like, there I go. I'm digressing here. So that's the second example. Salino and Barnes, the lawyers. Okay? So I'm not going to give you any more information than that and the ridiculous story I told about them. And by the way, I mean, like, you know, could I have gotten any dopier than to, like, throw something that could be insulting at two lawyers? I'll probably be out of business in 24 hours. That was brilliant on my part. But anyway, you know, Salino and Barnes, if you're listening, I'm actually going to pay you guys a huge compliment in a little bit. And I'll give you one now, because I don't want to get sued. You guys are awesome, and I see you, like, all over the damn island, and if ever somebody else sues me, I'm hiring you guys, just because, like, you guys are just awesome. So anyway, hopefully I've redeemed myself. Now, here's the third example. There's this recruiter. And by the way, actually, let me be more specific. specific than that, there was this recruiter. And the reason why I'm saying was is because she retired at the ripe old age of 45, extremely successful in her business. And she would be at like every networking event on Long Island. I kid you not, she was like the queen of networking. She went to like every type of event in general that was going on in the business community on Long Island. You would see her there. And of course, you know how a lot of these events work. People will be networking and introducing each other and all this kind of stuff. She was always there, right in the center of it. She even did something that I think was just absolutely brilliant. And we talk about this in our How to Hunt More Effectively course. We have a session that's dedicated to traditional networking. And I talk about what she did. And one of the things that she did was she started her own networking group, which makes her highly visible, obviously. And instead of cold calling businesses, by the way, she would actually call these businesses. And she would invite these women, because it was a women's networking group, to attend these events. And she would get through to these high-level decision-makers. I'm talking C-level, people that are highly guarded. She would get through to them, and it would never be a cold call. It would be a warm call, and she would simply invite them and say, "You need to be here. We need your expertise." And this is how she got to know all these people who eventually hired her to do the recruiting for them. I mean, how cool is that, right? So, again, highly visible. Everybody knew who she was. You could not go to, like, I mean, you couldn't go to any networking event on Long Island without running into her. I mean, she was really, really dedicated. So now let me just tie these all together, because it kind of feels like I just rambled on about a funeral director, and then I rambled on about these lawyers, and then a recruiter. It's almost like, Paul, you know, we'd kind of rather, like, if you didn't have anything, like just maybe not show up on the podcast. No, honest to God, I got something here. I swear to you. Make a pinky promise with you right now that I got something. So really, the million-dollar question is, you know, what does a funeral director, the lawyers, and the recruiter all have in common? So here's the big reveal right now. They all show up regularly. Now, you might be saying, wow, man, I can see why you make the big bucks, man. You are brilliant there, Captain Obvious, right? But not everybody shows up regularly. Now, in doing this whole business of showing up regularly, not only have they created familiarity, they've created your Uncle Paul's favorite word. They've created a sense of propinquity, which is nearness, closeness, kinship, right? That's kind of like the Merriam-Webster side of the definition. But what I like kind of have added without Miriam, as I like to call him or her. I don't. Would a dude be called Miriam? Because I don't know. I don't know. You don't know. I sure as hell don't know. But anyway, what I've added to this, it's kind of like bumping into someone. And, but in a good way, right? We can bump into people that are a pain in the ass. Like, how about bumping into, like, that relative that always has to comment on all your posts on Facebook, or that person who just every time you run into them, it gets weird. I'm not talking about that kind of bumping into. I mean, like, you're bumping into them and, you know, it's like a nice conversation and you get to know each other and everything else. But it's through that showing up regularly that we create this sense of propinquity. And this is the part now that if you're able to kind of pull over and write this down, I think we'd really serve you. So in establishing this sense of propinquity, each one of these people have moved from top of mind awareness to top of mind preference. So they've gone from top-of-mind awareness. In other words, yeah, I know who this person is. I'm aware that they exist. I know, yeah, that's Paul Castain, and he's with Castain Training Systems, right? But then there's top-of-mind preference. And what's beautiful about top-of-mind preference is that, in a way, it's like time release, right? It's like a time release commission check. Because in one sense, establishing top-of-mind preference could serve you today. If somebody has a need today, well, they're real comfortable with you. They have that nearness and closeness, and not only that familiarity, right? But again, that kinship that you know, they know who you are, but you've really transcended to that level where it's like, I know who they are, but I prefer to do business with Paul Castain. You know, in fact, I'll just tell you something very, very quickly, and this all has to do with what we're talking about today. Those of you who have become my clients that are listening to this, in a way, did I do this with you? I mean, many of you tell me that I've been riding shotgun with you forever. I mean, I've been doing this podcast now for 6 years. Actually, it was just 6 years ago this past weekend, because I remember listening at the time to Gary Vaynerchuk talking. It was an audio book, and he was talking delivering that, what was that book? It was Crush It. I'm sorry, I don't know why I had to think about that, because it was like one of my favorite books, like ever, all caps ever. And I remember I was like, damn it, man, I got to like get out there and get more exposure. And I decided to do the podcast. And consistently, for 6 years, I've been there. Now, have I religiously been there every single week since then? No. I mean, you could do the math. I mean, I'm up to like almost 150 episodes. So I really haven't. But on the other hand, there's a weekly sales tip that I deliver in audio version. And that's something that I've been pretty darn consistent. I mean, I might have missed like a week or two, and I've been doing it for 2 years. So pretty good track record there. But it's just interesting, because some people, again, you establish that familiarity, you establish that preference with them through having established that propinquity, and they're ready to roll right here and now. But other people, it's time release, right? It's like that time release commission check. And for some of those people that you're continuing to show up regularly and consistently, that may come 6 months from now. It could come 3 weeks from now. It could come 3 years from now. And I just think it's something worth reflecting on. So again, my message to you today was not to tell you a cute story about funeral directors and lawyers and a recruiter. It's to really focus on the fact that what they did was they showed up regularly and consistently. What they also did then in doing that is they created not just familiarity, like again, like that person at the networking event you always see, but they had opportunities to show you over time that they were decent people, that they were knowledgeable. They demonstrated their expertise in those moments and everything. So now they've gone to the top of the list so that when there is a need, this is who you call. Like, and I made a joke of it before. I mean, I have a business attorney, but I'm telling you right now, if ever, I don't know, man. Like, you know, maybe I'm involved in some kind of Hollywood scandal or something. Maybe Selena and Barnes could hook Uncle Paul up, right? Maybe I get thrown out of some, like, nightclub with some Hollywood starlet and like, you know, everybody's starting to say, well, I thought Castain was married and stuff. I'm gonna reach out to Selena and Barnes because I'm familiar with them. I don't even give a damn if like they can't help me out in California. I'm calling them anyway because these guys are like all over the damn place out here. But I mean, you know, like, and I'm being kind of dickish about this whole thing, especially with the Selena and Barnes stuff. But the whole point is that you are never going to even establish a basic, rudimentary level of familiarity if you are not showing up consistently. And I sympathize with every one of you. I know what you're going through because I'm in the trenches with you. I am a one-man show. I mean, I'm doing it all, right? So I am hunting. I am also writing the content, and I am the one delivering the content. And that is a heck of a lot for one dude to do. So I know how easy it is to just get away from just a regular prospecting schedule. We can't. And I think that really right there is the key. I kind of said it. I kind of revealed the secret right then and there, right? Again, rocket science. It's got to go on the schedule the same way other things go on the schedule. And when you put it on the schedule, you have to respect it. And my way of describing respect for the schedule is very, very simple. If you have an appointment with a client or a potential client, you wouldn't blow that appointment off just for the heck of it. The same has to hold true for when you have an appointment. And when I ask people, well, you know, if you had an appointment with someone for next Tuesday, 3:45, and it's a potential client or a client, doesn't matter, would you just blow it off? Everybody, of course, says, no, it's a trick question. I'm like, no, I'm dead serious. Would you blow it off? And they say, no, of course I wouldn't. And then I ask the follow-up question, why? And I hear things like, well, you know, it's just you don't do that. And many times the word that I hear is that wouldn't be respectful or that is disrespectful. And that's when I bring it back around. Why is it that everyone else gets the respect except ourselves? And that's how we screw ourselves out of a year. So when I put down on my calendar that I'm going to be making calls from 1 p.m. till 2:30 p.m., I really guard that very, very heavily. Now, that doesn't mean that so it is written, so it is done, and there is no flexibility. It means that it had better be a 911 and not a 411. 911, obviously, is an emergency, but if it's just some informational type of thing or whatever it is, well, it's very, very simple. I'll call you back after 2:30 when I'm done. So that's kind of the thing there. There is just one other point that I want to make about these three people. And I had mentioned that each of them, they show up consistently, and they've created this sense of propinquity. The only thing that I would add to it, and again, for all I know, every one of these people did the other things. I just don't know. I just know that they did these things that I mentioned so well that they stood out. I really think that we have to have the mix. We have to have a mix of things. So you notice that the one example that I gave with the funeral director, a lot of things that were really around events and, you know, things with the public and things like that. You'll notice when I talked about the lawyers, I talked heavily about advertising, right? And then when I talked about the recruiter, her thing was networking. Well, I think the only way that you could really one up what they did is if you look at kind of like a major minor mindset. That's what I call it, a major minor mindset, because I like things that are so damn difficult to pronounce that if you and I ever drink together, we're going to know within a fraction of a second when the other person became hammered. So really, you know, this major minor mindset when it comes to sales is that I think there needs to be something that is your major. It's like, you know, we're back in school. This is my major. Like, you know, my major is business, right? So maybe your major is networking, or it's LinkedIn. I worked with someone who gave me just a great idea years ago, and I think I gave it as an example in a recent podcast. And you know, we would always compare notes, and one day he said to me, you know, I'm selling more and more franchises lately because I'm selling them through seminars that I'm doing locally, as opposed to, it was kind of like, you know, we called them blue cards back then. We would get these blue cards. It was almost like the Glengarry leads, but they just, believe me, they weren't. And, you know, we'd call those, and we really wouldn't even get people in at the level that we should have. But when this guy shifted the approach, invited them in for a seminar, and he just, you know, was just not sleazy or salesy about it, well, sales just really took off. So that was kind of like his major, right? You know, I'm kind of good at the content thing. So that's part of my major. I really don't believe in putting all the eggs in one basket. But, you know, you get where I'm going. But now there's the minor part of it. And the minor should be all the other things. Because, again, I don't think any of us should put all our eggs in one basket. And even though you're crushing it with that major, to me, what it opens up is additional possibilities, because I can't help but think, and again, I really, far be it for me to judge a woman that was able to retire at age 45 with, you know, with what I understood to be just a ton of money. She did really, really well in a highly competitive industry, by the way. You guys know there's tons of recruiters out there. But far be it for me to sit here and say that she could have done better than she did, but she could have done better than she did, because what happened was she appealed to the people who really liked networking. The funeral director is appealing to the people who are out and about and at these events. Celino and Barnes, they're appealing to the people who are, you know, watching TV and in the car and traveling and things like that, advertising. But we all have our preferred, you know, modalities when it comes to how we like to receive things. So you don't ever want to limit it. So again, there you have it. You know, we've really talked a little bit about how three very different type of professions are really bringing in business at a really good level. And you normally wouldn't look at a funeral director and say, that's a great salesperson, right? That just, it would not be the kind of thing that you would say. And, you know, recruiters, again, most of the recruiters I know, they just have way too many competitors. And truth be told, I see a lot of people not staying in that industry. So, you know, you have that. And like I said, you have the lawyers. I mean, just like out where you live, how many lawyers are there? I mean, you know, tons of them. I mean, just in fact, again, people who live out by me, you're going to know this reference, but I'll explain it to you guys as well. We have, you know, certain pockets of Long Island where there are just lots and lots of businesses in general, but lots and lots of lawyers by, like, you know, the courthouses and stuff. I mean, I think of, you know, like when you come out by like Mineola, Long Island. Right? Certain pockets of like Hopog and Riverhead, just in those areas alone, how many attorneys there are. And then you take the entire geographic area where you do business and think about how many lawyers there are. And these guys succeeded in standing out and achieving that whole top of mind preference. So, you know, I think you have some thinking to do. Number one, are you showing up regularly and consistently? Number two, I had added before, are you mixing it up too? Remember, we don't want to just cling to any one thing. We talked about this concept of a major, minor mindset. In fact, I would really appreciate it if you guys battle test that whole concept of a major, minor mindset. Not just in trying it, but just in next time you go to happy hour, I want you to start when everybody has just had a sip of their favorite alcohol and, you know, make everybody say it. And then as the evening progresses, you know, just see who botches it up. You'll know who can't hold their liquor. And, you know, maybe they should have to buy the drinks or something like that. I don't know. I really don't know. But if you do it, remember, drink responsibly. But anyway, there you have it, folks. A few different examples for you to ponder. Before you go, I want to let you know we are like right up on the deadline for registration for our June 9th webinar, 25 Ways to Rock Your Sales This Summer. I have just lots of ideas. I mean, to be very specific, 25 of them. See how good I am at coming up with names for my webinars? But the reason why I'm really hoping that you'll come by. I mean, first of all, it'd be great if you and I, if you've been listening to me for a while and we can finally get to work together. That would be awesome. I mean, I'm always, you know, very, very grateful when I get a chance to work with you guys. I mean, damn it, we've been hanging out in your car forever, right? I mean, I feel like, come on, hook a brother up here. But, you know, I think it's very, very important for you to do it because a lot of you are looking at summer as a challenge. And in many ways, there are some challenges. But the thing I teach all my coaching clients is that we have to look at challenges, things that we would normally say, oh man, this is killing me, or oh man, you know, going into summer, this is going to be brutal, and trying to see the opportunities. So what I'm going to do during this workshop is I'm going to share ideas with you that's going to help you leverage instead of being challenged by the summer. I have all kinds of ideas ranging from email tips for you that are going to be helpful, conversations that you can have with both your clients and your prospects that create urgency. Part of the challenge we have is that people lose some of that urgency over the summer. And guess what they tell you? Call me back after summer, right? Or here in the States, call me back after Labor Day. So how can we create that urgency? How can we deliver a compelling enough message that they'll want to meet with us now? And then, you know, God forbid they throw that kind of stall at us, call me back after summer. I'm going to talk about how you could respond to that. I'm going to show you how to create a communication map, which is now kind of like the center of everything that I'm teaching my clients now. We talk about my process of communication mapping, where we think out different types of touches that in this case are going to be centered around some of the communication that you can do in the summer, believe it or not. There are some things that could really serve you with the summer that you might not be taking advantage of. And we create this map of different types of touches, and we kind of set up the system where, okay, touch number one is going to be whatever, right? I'm not going to give it away to you. Almost did, though, by the way. And then we wait X amount of time, then touch number two happens, and then touch number three or whatever. But the beautiful thing about this particular webinar on June 9th is that it's not just going to be skills that you can only use if you're challenged by summer. I mean, think about the idea of, you know, the email tips I'm going to give you. You guys are like me, and you use email a lot. These tips are going to serve you throughout the whole year. The things creating urgency. Don't we face that challenge from time to time anyway? You know, I mean, it's not just summer. I mean, it could be seasonal. We know we see it after Thanksgiving here in the U.S., and everybody goes off on this mental sabbatical and milks like the 1 week that we probably should be taking for the holidays into like 6 weeks. And you guys know that I'm pretty accurate on it because all of us go through it, and it's very frustrating. But just in general, creating that urgency and everything. We're also going to talk about how you can get more referrals. And I think that is something that many of you are challenged with. I mean, it's just me and you right now. And anybody else crowded around listening, are you asking for referrals? Do you even know how to do it? And I teach a process that typically opens up your possibilities so that you can potentially double and triple the amount of referrals that you're getting. And there's no catch or gimmicks. There's nothing salesy or sleazy that you're going to say. Just like everything else that I teach you guys, it's stuff that it's just like so simple that you're going to say, oh my God, like I've been like tripping over it the whole time. It's that easy. So it's just a simple way to word that dialogue that can result in doubling and tripling the amount of referrals. Again, I don't see that as just a summer thing. That's something you could take throughout the whole year. So anyway, if you would like to learn more, I'm just going to encourage you to do it quickly, because I also know, being a sales type of dude, that we can procrastinate. And I know, big shock, nobody's ever told that to you before, right? That we procrastinate in sales, or like we don't want to deal with stuff. Yeah, I'll think about it later. You're going to think about it after July 4th when you're getting your ass kicked? No way. So my thought is, listen, if this is something that you'd like to learn more, do it soon. Sign up soon. If you stop by yoursalesplaybook.com/summer, you can get all the juicy details. yoursalesplaybook.com/summer. And on that note, I'm Paul Castain from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at YourSalesPlaybook.com.